Cool, cool. All right, folks. Welcome to, this is really, I guess, the second episode of There's Good News for the Hood. For those of you who've been paying attention, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of put out a monologue episode where it was just kind of me talking about a few things about the direction that I wanted to take things in. That was just me monologuing, and we'll have some of those from time to time. But today I'm glad to have my brother with me, Brother Randall File, who, if you've paid attention to some of the work that I've done in the past, he's been a part of that work for different seasons. And especially when we were having more conversations about 5 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that time flies, but he was a major part of that. And so now we've grown, I've refocused, I've started to take things in a different direction. I've reorganized some of the things that I've wanted to do. And it seemed fitting that he would be a part of this particular thing. Again, a little bit about things, you know, us, you see the Averages Failure Hat, right? So Averages Failure has really become more of just the clothing brand and the overarching entity, I would say, that is housing everything else. This shirt that you see here, stay tuned. It will be, you know, for those who are seeing through video, it will be available shortly, you know. Matter of fact, on Good Friday, that whole weekend between that and Easter Sunday is when we plan to launch on that. So we have that. But then this idea came to mind that my focus in this season is really around the gospel and how the gospel speaks to the issues that we see in this world, especially the issues concerning Black individuals. And the reason why that's important is because, that's always, I think, been a passion of ours, the passion of all the people around, whether it's Randall, whether it's Paul, who you all will see eventually and all that kind of stuff. And he's already doing work behind the scenes, whether that's Delon, who's helping me with some work behind the scenes. But what I realized is while that was, I didn't know at that time how to bring all of these things together. And I think through what the country is going through in 2020, I think also through my own deeper dive into the biblical work and understanding the Bible, more has been revealed to me, let's say, that shows me that, you know what, there's a space right now. There's a vacuum, in essence, you know, in terms of a focus on biblical literacy and biblical understanding in the Black church community. And that's not to say that there aren't Black biblical scholars. That's not to say that there aren't people in their churches who are taking the Bible seriously. But what I mean is that what I feel like I've seen heavily in the Black church, and this other churches as well, I'm just talking about the Black church right now, is I'm seeing that, you know, the gospel has kind of turned into something that's, a lot of it is entertainment. A lot of it is great analogies, utilizing the word for great, like great inspirational analogies, but not necessarily diving into what the authors were trying to convey, you know. And I think I really think that there's power, and one of the reasons why we don't see as much power as we can in our world today is because we've missed out on what the authors were trying to convey to us. And then after understanding that, then figuring out what does that look like in whatever context it is that we find ourselves in. And so I have a heart for that. There are a couple of other individuals and groups doing that work out there, but you know, they're so unknown. They're so unknown. And so we want to start bringing some of this stuff to the forefront. And so that's what this particular podcast is going to be about. There are other podcasts that we're planning on doing. I won't waste too much time going into those right now. You'll hear more about those, you know, as we go forward. But this specific podcast, the you see here, it says the Black Seminary. That's kind of going to be like our, all of our teaching stuff, the podcast being pieces of those entities. So go follow the Averages Failure on Instagram. Go follow the Black Seminary on Instagram. Find us. You know, that's where we'll do a lot of interacting with whatever audiences we develop, whether it be on YouTube or through the podcast. Okay. So now that I was a bit long-winded about that specifically, the good news for the hood. All right. This podcast is going to be laser focused on, we're going to talk, you know, about the Bible. We're going to try to uncover what the scriptures are saying, but we're also going to try to talk about some of the issues of our day in hopes that, you know, what we're learning about the Bible, we can see how it speaks to the issues of our day. Okay. If that makes sense. And so Randall, what I want to do right now is, you know, I want to, is there anything that you want to say?
Nah, man. I mean, I'm really excited to be a part of this project once again. You know, I've been so inspired just by the work that you've done for more than 5 years. It's crazy to think that we've been doing stuff together for that long, but you know, just inspired by your evolution and by your calling to do this type of work. You know, and I'm honored. I hope I can contribute and be a part of what really gets put out there and reaches other folk and resonates with other folk, man, because it's been a transformative. Really excited to get in on this. And look forward to a great conversation today.
By all means. So you all will learn more about us as we get into more and more episodes. I was trying to think about whether or not there were any specific things in the Bible that I wanted to talk about today, or if there were any specific issues that were coming up that I wanted to talk about today. But maybe we'll use today as just, you know, learning about us, learning about what we've been observing, and continuing to build upon why we feel like the conversations that are going to be had here, the talks that are going to be given here, are relevant for today's day and age. So what I'll ask you, Randall, is what is the Bible still relevant for today? And is the Bible, in your opinion, relevant specifically for Black Christians today? One reason why I ask this is because we know more and more, I'm seeing a lot of my friends who were Christian, Black individuals in Christian churches, a considerable number, more than I ever thought I would see, left the Christian faith, or are kind of ambiguous to faith in general. A lot of them claim to have just a spirituality, just a spirituality in general. Folks are burning sage everywhere. Not that there's wrong with burning sage everywhere, right? But I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, just meditation, you know, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of people move toward, I guess, what we might call Black religions. What have you been observing? Mm-hmm. And where do you feel like the Bible and the gospel and all these things fit in? And do you feel like we've been speaking to, do you think that the Bible has been handled as best as we can handle it in our context, in our day and age?
Yeah. That's a big question, man. And, you know, I would say a few things, right? That for me, I'll be transparent that I've been one of those people, right? I've been one of those people who has been really reflective on what my connection to the word, my connection to, you know, the Christian faith has been over time as I continue to evolve as a man, you know, in the different intersections that come with that, like being a husband, being a, you know, professional in the space that I'm in, right? You know, being a son, being a brother, you know, all those different contexts. And, you know, it's been my own process. So what I'll say now also is reflective of the things I've been wrestling with. I think first and foremost, part of the transition to those spaces, like you said, spirituality, maybe more performative you know, expressions of the word and faith. I think in part comes from progressive culture, and not to say that progressive culture is a bad thing in any way, but I think we've, you know, become a little bit more liberal in certain spaces, particularly, you know, even in higher education. I know diversity, inclusion, equity work, social justice work has been, you know, focused on inclusion, you know, kind of pushing back against, you know, social binaries and so forth. And that has been a great thing, a beautiful thing. But also in that, I believe that folk have been more, a little bit more open with different ways of, you know, expressing their faith, expressing, you know, their form of worship and who they worship. I think the other part of that, and kind of in that same lens, is that Christianity over time has been a difficult crossroads for Black people, right? In terms of its history in colonialism and, you know, how it's literally was the mechanism that sanctioned white supremacy and settler colonialism, right? So I think people are still, the more conscious they become of different social structures in society, and historically too, is the more they kind of feel disillusioned with the faith, especially as it's expressed a lot of times in their lives, right? Like, I think everybody has been to a church that has been real legalistic, you know, exclusive, right? Elitist, you know what I mean? And all of those things kind of echo that ugly history of the faith that tends to push folk away, right? So I think it's just kind of wrestling with all of those things, right? It has everything to do with our current socio-political climate, man. You know what I mean? So it's a complex thing. But I know for me, those are the two pieces that have really made it difficult for me, which is why I now dive deeper into the faith and the history of the faith to get a kind of more organic understanding of just what it is that, you know, I've been raised up in. So.
Yeah. And that's powerful, because I think that it's interesting that the same faith, and this is, I think, a testament to the power of the gospel, as much as in Black culture, the gospel and the Bible and Christianity is both celebrated and also can take a beating in some ways. You know, this mechanism that was used to suppress and to deny people and to enslave people, you know, strip people of their identity. And I don't even want to just use identity, mm-hmm. because I think for us as Christians, we believe that this is more than just an identity as Black people, but strip people of their humanity and strip people of exactly. their image of godness, you know.
Right.
This same mechanism that was used to do that is the same mechanism that the people who were, it was being used against, were able to grab a hold of and then use and transform. Man, this is deep, even mm-hmm. as I say it, yeah. transform into a tool of liberation, you know?
Yeah.
And it actually, if you look at slavery as almost like a kind of like a death, and then what we've been trying to do is kind of like resurrect, you know, mm-hmm. the who we are as people over time. Mm-hmm. It almost, you know, reminds me of Jesus. It reminds me of you know, people improperly utilizing the scriptures in his mm-hmm. day to beat people down, and then to eventually beat him, Jesus himself, down. You know, but that same power through which the scriptures and through you know, the whole that God, Yahweh, had been using all along is the same power that allowed Jesus, who died, to also be resurrected, you know, and then to form a movement to where people were so you're talking about people were so transformed through it. And it's not like an overnight thing, but being transformed to the point where a guy like Peter, who had Jesus's death, is running away or fearing for his life mm-hmm. and denying Jesus, and then speaking to the people that killed Jesus, with such power and authority as if he doesn't even care about whether or not he lives or dies anymore. He's just like, listen, I'm about this work, you know? So, and in a very tangible way as well, you know, because sometimes even what I just said could feel like pine, like just being in the sky, you know, but in a very real way, these are the things that I think led men like Martin Luther King, a lot of the other people that we saw do work, civil rights movements and all that stuff. A lot of this, it wasn't all churches didn't jump in there, but a lot of these things were headed up by people who believed in Jesus Christ, you know. And so, you know, I think it saddens me a little bit to think that people have there's been a loss to some extent. People have lost their faith. That's the best way I can put it at the moment. And I'm hoping that also again here that this will be able to give people reasons as to why to hold on to that faith, man. You know, so
yeah, no doubt, man. And you hit it on the nose, right? Like the way we've reinterpreted, or you know, some might argue that reimagined, and it's not. I don't mean to say reimagined or reinterpreted as if we are creating our own spin on the Bible, which some of us do in the Black community, of course, right? Like this practice of blackening the Bible, that everybody in the Bible was Black. You know what I mean? Which, you know, I don't mind as such, but if we tell you from a true historical perspective, yes, there were many Black people in the Bible, you know, and of various identities based on regionally where this all took place, right? So, but, you know, just the fact that we've taken the essence of what the scripture was meant to be, which was we are all made in God's image, which is a very much a liberatory message, which is a justice-based message, right? Which is in some ways even a rebellious, like, you know, a kind of anti-establishment to a certain extent, with Jesus being the primary protagonist of that story, man. You know what I'm saying? So I think the more we can bring that essence of the word out, man, because that's, you know, part of it is generational too, because, you know what I mean? My mom was a, you know, I hope this isn't an offensive, you know, title, but PK, she was a preacher's kid, right? You know, my grandfather was, you know, preaching in Jamaica.
No, I never knew that.
Man. So he was, his methods were loving, but a lot more strict. You know what I mean? So, you know, just kind of, you know, coming from that space, it wasn't necessarily how they taught it as such. You know, it tended to be a little bit more legalistic, but I think there was still more of a liberatory message extended from there. But yeah, man, I think the extent to which we can, you know, disentangle ourselves from, you know, that problematic, you know, kind of expression of the faith, the better, man, the better it can resonate with what's going on in current times. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah. And again, I know that there's so many things that kind of distract, from these things. I just noticed that we really don't for the amount of time. So if this was a business, right, we would have to justify why we spend so much time. For instance, if I'm getting, if I'm supposed to be working 40 hours a week and I'm getting paid based on 40 hours a week, there's an expectation that out of that 40 hours a week, at least a certain minimum amount of work is able to be accomplished in that 40 hours a week, you know? And I feel like in Christianity, we've spent more and more and more time watching things about the gospel, or let me not say about the gospel, but doing church things. I'll say that doing church things. We have more musicians and singers than ever before. We have more concerts than ever before. We still doing concerts online. We have more types of church services, types of ministries and stuff like that. But yet when I look and if I ask and if I try to have a conversation with people about the faith, it's hard for anybody to give at least a somewhat coherent response about what it is that now. And watch this. This doesn't mean that they can't give or regurgitate just certain rote learning, if I can call it that, type of information, or just things that they learned when they were young that you're just kind of supposed to know. But what I mean is that the expectation of a growth and dynamic understanding of the Bible that goes beyond simply everything that somebody taught you, but being able to kind of navigate and manipulate in a positive sense what the scriptures are saying,
right?
You know, be able to go back and forth, be able to I guess I'm saying no longer to be on milk, but to have moved up to meat.
Right up.
You know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah, man, and that's, I don't know about you, but that's something that I didn't really, that's a process I didn't accept for myself, man, until, I want to say fairly recently, man. I don't know that I've ever really studied the Bible, right? Like, you read the scriptures, you know, you know, recite your memory verses and all that, like we used to back in the day, but actually studying the Bible and applying different lenses, like critical lenses to what you're reading, and historical lenses to it. It's like, it's an intentional process. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think we, you know, to your point, a lot of times we've been kind of spoon fed it in a way that just allows us to scratch the surface. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it's only about being able to say, oh, that's my favorite verse right there. Right. You know what I'm saying? Or adding anecdotally, be able to say Jesus wept, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Right, to justify why we do, do our thing, you know, but then, and we can translate, this is kind of another side of the conversation, man. Yeah. We base so much of the faith on who we see, in it, right. And how we see people living it out. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think part of it is the fear of having to bear the responsibility of representing the faith. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Can make folk just say, nah, man, because I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. I know I'm gonna mess up in this. I just did yesterday. So I'm not trying to be the mantle bearer for none of this.
Yeah.
Right. So kind of getting people, especially in today's cancel culture, and, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about, man, with that. But I think generally just people don't want to have to be the representation of the faith. Because it's just, it's a lot, man, and it's tough, especially in today's society, to get everything right. Yeah.
And so, because I talked about Peter just now, right?
Yeah.
And so, that's the same struggle. If you know, I feel like we can talk about that Peter had. You know, there was this point where Peter was willing to represent the faith when it meant, like, again, using power in the way that you know, a lot of the then followers of Christ, you know, before his death and resurrection. You know, they still were on this thing. Even his disciples were still on this thing of, yeah, we're going to get power by might, by our own might, you know, by physically fighting if we have to. And so he cuts off the ear of Malchus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus kind of has to be like, yo, listen, that's not how my kingdom, that's not how we operate. Let me show you what true power is. The true power is going to be me laying down my life. That if you want to see power, and by all means, Randall, what I just said right there, I don't even think we as, man, I'm ashamed to say, I feel like it's only in the past 3 years maybe where I've really been understanding kind of like that upside down worldness of the gospel, where it's trying to get you to see that if you want to see the most powerful moment in history, it's at the cross. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And what does that look like? But I won't even go too deep down into that. But Peter, you know, he's saying in there, okay, he's just been rebuked by Jesus for chopping off, you know, the high priest assistant's ear, and now he's, you know, by the fire warming himself up, and people are calling him out like, oh, aren't you one of them? And it's like that pressure, you know, of being called out to say, nah, you look like you are one of the followers of Jesus. He runs from that pressure. You know, he denies him. And I think you're absolutely right. I think that to some extent it is. Seth Godin, and I'm taking an actual business example. But Seth Godin is a great business mind, a great marketing mind that a lot of people in the world respect his opinions on that. And it's funny, one thing that he talks about that holds a lot of people from taking the step that they want to take as far as like whatever project or creativity it is that they want to launch into the world is he talks about them being fearful of being on the hook. And so he tries to tell, so what he tries to tell everybody is, if you like, the only way to ever put something out there or to do something great is, or give yourself the chance of doing something great, is to be willing to be on the hook. And I think that what you're saying is, in Christianity, there's sometimes the fear of us saying, yo, I'm going to be on the hook. And because when you're on the hook, you don't fit well or neatly into anybody's category. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't fit well into a Republican category. You don't fit well into a Democratic category. You don't fit well into, let's say, I don't know. You don't fit neatly into, you know, let's call it hip hop culture. But you also don't fit neatly into, the culture of uppity, stiff neck, stiff, too conservative ism. Like, it's hard to nail you down into a specific category. And I think that makes sense, because if God's kingdom is not of this world, right? And that doesn't mean that it doesn't operate in this world, but it means that it operates under a different authority. Then there would be we don't operate the way that the rest of the world does.
That's a good word, man, because I'm trying not to go too deep into things that we should probably process out in a future episode, but what I'll say to that is, yeah, there's certain things, man, that govern the way we operate and live and speak and so forth, man, that we ourselves can't even understand fully. You know what I mean? So it's challenging, you know, when you know, you're trying to lead folk, or maybe not even lead, maybe just even talk about what this thing is inside of me, right? That just seems to be informing everything I do. What grounds that, you know, and in the face of things that seem to be contradictory in the word, in the text that kind of guides that, to feel like you might need to just say, you know what, you're going to have to ask God on that. Like, is that good enough? Like, where is that line in terms of how we interpret what God might be saying to us and want us to do versus what we just got to, you know, kind of lift up to him in faith that he'll make it true or make it resonate for us in his own time and way. So I think that's kind of another piece of it, man, that, you know, for those things we can't explain. So one thing is to live, bear the mantle of representing the faith and the word and so forth. But it's also the things that we can understand, the things that we can explain, even through study and the historical context. It's like, you know, what do we do there? So, I just wanted to add that into it.
And I think that's part, again, that is part of the journey for us, is the Bible is not, the more and more I read the Bible, I see it as, it's not just a, we go to it just for like, to figure out what we want to do with our life. A lot of people use it as kind of like either a coping mechanism, or as something to give them specific direction on what to do. And the more and more I read it, I realize that it's really something that's trying to teach you to be wise. There's so many layers to it. Yes, a child can get something from it, but there's some things in there that still confound the greatest of scholars. And I think part of it, to me, that shows you the mastery. That's one of the reasons why I really do feel like it has to be inspired by God. The more and more I learn about it, I'm just like, man, I can't see a human mind being able by itself, you know. And I'm not saying that God sat there dictating these things to them, and not in that way, but however his inspiration works, Like the artistry in the Bible alone is just on a whole other level, man. A child can read it and get something from it, man, but the scholar can read it and still get something and admit that he's confounded in many ways by that thing. Here, maybe we can end on this question, Randall. Maybe you and I can both give our take in terms of, based on, you know, what we've learned up until this point in our lives, you know, answering the question, what do we think, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And I'm going to let you tackle that first.
That's a big one. That's a big one. And, you know, I'm definitely going to be processing while I speak. Right. So I look forward to you, you know, shedding some more light on this question. For me, the gospel is really the story about how our Creator is positioning us to be reconnected with Him, ultimately, in the end. Right. Like that. I think that's the purpose of it, right? Giving us a guidebook, talking about historical experiences and people and how they navigated their respective times, the ways in which He Himself as the Creator intervened and, you know, supported and set the example, set the ultimate sacrifice eventually, and then, you know, kind of confirmed the promise that, He will come again to redeem us and take us back into kind of intimate connection and community with Him, right? So I think overall, that's what the gospel is. I think underneath that, there's several different purposes, like, you know, again, it's a source of hope for folk. You know what I mean? In those hard times, it informs our lens through which we see justice and advocacy in today's world. It's how we learn how to love each other, man, you know, unconditionally, how to live with your partner and love your partner unconditionally through all the stuff that you go through.
And how our partners learn to live with us.
Word up. Especially that. You know what I mean? It teaches us, man, how to manage money, right? And understanding, reminding ourselves that this ain't ours, right? But it's out of the abundance of His love that we have, you know, literally the food, the provision. I think overall that's what the gospel is meant to be, man. But underneath that umbrella, there's several different purposes that I think allow us to live in accordance with and be best prepared for that fulfilled promise in the end.
Listen, man, I think that was I think that was excellent. One of the things that stood out to me, and I think this is what a lot of individuals don't. This is the part that individuals don't understand. Not the part. There are many aspects that people don't understand, but I think there's a key aspect that people don't understand often is you painted the picture of a story. You see what I'm saying? And many times, first of all, if somebody can even answer that question a lot of the time, and again, this is not to judge. We're doing this because we want to help, and we're doing this because we know that in many ways, or at least I'll say I know that in many ways, I'm like, man, I feel like I'm starting to grasp a lot of these things later than I should have. You know, I feel like I should have been understood some of this stuff.
You ain't alone, bro.
So by all means, this is not a judgment thing. This is kind of a reckoning thing, and then a challenging thing, like, yo, how do we move forward from here? And I think we miss the essence of the gospel as a big narrative. It's a big story, and to understand this story truly, you have to understand, or to understand even something like the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have to understand the story of the whole biblical text. You know, you have to understand. That's what shows you why this death and resurrection had meaning. What did it mean? How did it address some of the things, what happened with Adam and Eve, but not just what happened with Adam and Eve. How does this address you know, the whole Torah, you know, the first five books of the Bible and what was going on in there. How this does this address, you know, the slavery, the Egyptians enslaving the nation of Israel, and then the liberation there. How does it address those things? How does this address one of the major movements in the Bible that most people really still don't even know about, when it, this a significant portion of the Bible has to do with the Babylonian exile, right? And how does the you know, Christ's death and resurrection address that? And then looking forward, you know, what does it mean for those who, what did it mean for those who lived shortly after his resurrection and ascension, you know, the disciples and the people who began to follow the message that they were giving? And then what does that look like for us now, man? So, so again, a major thing is simply the story, and the story makes things so much more interesting too. I'm going to say that. Right. but then understanding that the gospel, while it is something about how there was something done on our behalf that allows us to be, get back to the being the full images of God that we were called to be in the beginning, there's also the aspect of it that's just a redefining what does power look like, you know what I mean? And what does love look like? What does power look like over and above the pharaohs and the Caesars, you know, of the past, you know, of the biblical text, but then the pharaohs and the Caesars of our cultures today, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. So this, I think when you said that there's so much to it, I think you're absolutely right. and we miss it.
It's an understatement.
And so again, y'all, you know, we, I think we're going to wrap this up here. But we this again is what we want to be able to dive into. We want to be able to dive into this text because we believe that the text is speaking to the issues of today more powerfully than we could ever know. But we're not allowing ourselves to let the text, the biblical text, to be the launching point for everything else that we want to do. And I think that there's a big mistake in that. I think that the Bible is trying to speak to social justice issues. It's trying to speak to all these different things, but we got to let it do it in the way that the authors were trying to do. And then figure out, man, how do we take that and run with it? You know, so that being said, man, let's close this one out. Y'all, we'll see you on the next episode. Again, remember, follow Average is Failure on social media. Really, we're just on Instagram right now. Follow the Black Seminary on Instagram for content specific to this. But if you're interested in some of the apparel stuff that we're going to be trying to do, follow Average is Failure. Hit like, follow all that stuff that all these YouTubers be talking about on these videos. If you're listening to us on a podcast, please definitely leave a review. Give us whatever, you know, hopefully you'll give us 5-star rating, but I don't want you to lie. If we're not 5 stars, give us whatever rating you find appropriate, you know, and hey, basically tell the truth and we'll try to figure things out from there. So hope that y'all are going to be willing to come on this journey with us. Randall, thanks as always for being part of this, man. I'm excited to see what we do going forward. And then we're about to record another quick episode for this other podcast that we're doing called, this is mainly for, we both come from a Seventh-day Adventist context, and a lot of our friends are from a Seventh-day Adventist context. So we wanted to do something specifically for Black people who either are Seventh-day Adventists, used to be Seventh-day Adventists, or what have you, and just some of the specific issues and things that have come up for us in that space. And so that's going to be called Hip Hop and Haystacks. So for those of you who are interested, definitely feel free to find that podcast. But if you're following the Black Seminary, you'll hear more about that as well. So anyway, I'll leave it there, folks. As always, Average is Failure. There's still good news for the hood, y'all. All right. There's still good news for the hood. Let's make it happen. Peace.